Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. God sets us in places together to worship Him and to enjoy His presence. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. I'm going to read quickly. First verse I'll read today is Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. There's a lot of stars. It's almost like He just kind of threw them out there. You know? He said He made the stars with His fingers. Well, the stars are big, pretty big. You know, the stars are pretty big. But He said here, what reason did He give for giving the sun and the moon and the stars? What reason did He say? To divide the day from the night. Well, that's good. We need to do, season and seasons. And for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So God likes days and years. He initiated time. Before the world was created, He initiated. There was no time. It was God in eternity. God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost in eternity. But He created the heavens and the earth, and then when He created man, He created time. Because this was temporary. Time was temporary. That's interesting, isn't it? For time to be temporary, you know. We do things and we expect them to last. We expect this service to last till about noon. It'll last temporary. But God lives in eternity. And how many know you live in eternity? If you're in Christ Jesus, you live in eternity. But He gave these the sun and the moon for seasons and for times, for years and for days and months, minutes and seconds. You know, everything is set in its place. And when God does that, He has purposes for it. And it's for you and me to be reminded, for you and me to take note of things and to remind ourselves of these things. We have been, for a number of years, back since about the turn of the century, back since about 2000, we have been, not because it was 2000, but we've been dedicating ourselves. As the scripture talks about, if we've given ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to the Lord, and we've been dedicating, taking time on January the 1st. Many times, very rarely does it happen on Sunday morning when we gather together for worship. Many times we'll be getting together on another day of the week, and thankfully most people still have that day. A lot of people, except for retailers. Have that first day of the year, New Year's Day, off. And many can come and join us. And so what we do is we dedicate ourselves, our buildings, our land, and our properties to the Lord. And I'm going to read a little bit in the scripture about doing that. But what I want to do is we're going to go ahead and just do the dedication first instead of at the end. So I'm going to read about... We're going to just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, okay? Just so, in other words, I'll read the first one, Jeff will read the second one, Bobo, you read the third one. And we have our leaders who are present, our designated hands laid on leaders, deacons and elders who are present to join us in this. And Pastor Jim and I did it for many years, and now we've added to our numbers as far as the leadership. Dedication of our church's blessings. And of course, now we're about 52 years, I guess, of gospel ministry in Texas. Almighty God has divided his heavenly dominion, which stands paramount over the inhabited world, in God's natural earth, forming two separate, independent, and very distinct kingdoms.
One kingdom reigns exclusively for this world. The other reigns exclusively under heaven above.
You know, hold that up a little higher.
Each kingdom exists for the sole purpose, for the sole benefit, safety, and happiness of for all men dwelling upon the earth.
God's only begotten Son, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, has instructed his people who worship their Creator by faith in Jesus, who love and serve their neighbors as they love themselves.
We read these words in Matthew 22:21. Render unto Caesar all those duties which lawfully belong to Caesar's earthly jurisdiction, but render unto Almighty God all those duties which belong lawfully and justly to God, exclusively under his just and spiritual jurisdiction.
The worldly kingdom, the temple, visible, external, and civil, subject to Caesar's authority and sword, for the sole purpose of defending the body and goods of the law, abiding, but punishing lawbreakers who refuse to obey.
Nevertheless, the mutable laws, changeable laws of man-made government possess no jurisdictional power or authority over the hearts and the souls of any man, for God alone knows the secrets of the heart.
The spiritual kingdom is eternal, invisible within each individual, subject to God alone for his or her free worship of God, and for freely loving every man as he or she wishes to be treated as a self-governing individual, having a duty, right, and liberty to obey the dictates of his or her own private, God-given conscience, being accountable to God alone as his or her rightful judge.
These two kingdoms must never be joined or compounded into an essential union, because the spiritual nature and character of God's holy churches on earth, subject to heaven's will and pleasure, separately, solely unto God, God's holy sight and his majestic name under his right name.
The realm of Caesar also remains subject to God's heavenly authority beneath God's left hand, Yad Samah. Pertaining to God's secular entrustment, the spiritual kingdom remains subject to God's merciful right hand, Yad Yamim, strictly for his religious purposes, both holy worship and the duty of servanthood to all mankind for their soul benefit and blessing.
Thus, the civil government of men shall not exercise domination over the spiritual trust, and the spiritual trust shall not exercise temporal domination over the civil and secular trust.
Jesus said to Caesar's governor, Pontius Pilate, that his own kingdom that God had entrusted to him was not of this fallen world, at the same time assuring the Roman governor that not one of his followers would fight for Jesus' freedom or release, nor would they do anything to oppose or thwart Pilate's sentence of judgment over Jesus' punishment of suffering and death.
God's spiritual kingdom on earth and his true churches would pose no threat to Rome's worldly kingdom on earth, as long as each kingdom remained within its God-given limits and restraints.
That is the reason why Pilate went out from his judgment throne room to inform Jesus' accusers that he found no crime or fault in the accused worthy of death, examining him three times.
The Roman centurion at the...
Verse 15. That's right.
In Rome's eyes, the accused was innocent of any crime worth of death according to its justice.
The Roman centurion at the cross glorified God and said of Jesus, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Mark recorded in his gospel that the same centurion said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God," Mark 15:39. That same centurion later reported these words to the Emperor Tiberius.
In 1836, on the 2nd of March, the people of Texas sent delegates to draw up their Declaration of Independence from Mexico. In paragraph 12 of their Declaration of Rights, they stated their reason for their separation from the tyranny of the new president, General Santa Anna, who had made it clear to the inhabitants of Texas that he was determined to coerce by military force any inhabitant of Texas who refused to obey his new law compelling them to become a true member of the Roman Catholic Church subject to his presidential will.
Skip down to 20.
Thus, paragraph 12 of the unanimous Texas Declaration of Independence expressly asserted and ratified on the second day of March 1836 that the Mexican government denies to us the right of worshiping the Almighty according to the dictates of our own conscience by the support of a national religion calculated to promote the eternal interests of its human functionaries rather than the glory of the true and living God. It has demanded us to deliver up our arms, which are essential to our defense and rightful property of free men, and forbiddable only to tyrannical governments.
Will America remain America as a nation state under God and the constitutional rule of law, or will global government prevail under arbitrary, totalitarian, superstate governments? Will America remain America? And will American, Indian, Israel, and England prevail and restore the nation-state confederacy? Will God's Christian church awaken from her lukewarm carnality? In either case, the world will never be the same again. Will God's churches choose liberty and justice at this moment? Even hot zestos. Now let us dedicate ourselves to God. Let us devote this land and its people to Almighty God. Father, we come to you. Let's join our hearts together in prayer and dedication of our land, our buildings, everything that we own to the service and the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of these things that we have read have to do with the separation of God's two lines of authority, the authority in the earth given to Caesar, given to those who are Romans 13, which is God has set those in authority to make sure that righteousness in the world is fulfilled and accomplished, but righteousness in Christ and righteousness which comes only from the Holy Spirit is administered by the Church of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit and his kings and priests in the earth, which are us. And so in keeping those two kingdoms separate is God's plan. So, Father, today we thank you that we dedicate ourselves and these buildings and these properties that have been dedicated to the kingdom of heaven. We dedicate them again to you. We thank you, O God, that you have called us and set us in this place and position. Lord, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, those of us who have been born from above, those of us who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that our job in the Holy Spirit is to share these things and these truths with the world. And the only job that the earthly kingdom has, just like the law of Moses, was to stop murder, to stop outward crimes against humanity and each other, so that the world may continue until the day that Jesus Christ came and was crucified and rose again and then again until the day that he comes again for his church. So, Father, we thank you for both of your hands, the right hand of righteousness through Jesus Christ and the left hand of law and justice and order. And, Father, we thank you, though, that you keep them separate. And, Father, we thank you, we ask you this day, Lord, even as we go and we vote for our leaders and as we talk to our leaders in this session that is going to begin this next couple of weeks, that, Father, that we speak to them and we declare to them these things as we read at the end of this document, that the Word of God and the conscience of every believer is not to be violated by the actions of an overzealous state. But those who are walking in righteousness through the power of the Holy Spirit must be left alone. Those who are worshiping God must be left alone to fulfill the finished work of the gospel in the earth until the day of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise and we give you thanks for these things. Jeff, would you pray a little further?
Yeah.
And then I'll get Oboe to finish up.
Father, we thank you that the work that you began in us and in our church and in your church, you will surely finish. So, Lord, we thank you that that all of the breaches, all the things that are the injustices, we thank you, you make the crooked things straight, Lord. And our commitment is to abide. And you even have to keep us in that, Lord. We just abide in you. And, we're resting in you. We're listening to you. We know we live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth and you're speaking. So, Lord, we stop and slow down and listen to hear what it is that you would say. Thank you, Lord, for commitment that is you put in our hearts, a commitment that you will fulfill, a commitment that the battle is yours. And we are excited about that. That's the gospel, and that it's you that does it all. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. And we do dedicate our church and each other and ourselves.
Amen. 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 Hang it up there. Amen. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Not only do we dedicate our buildings and our properties, and you can do that at home, you know, today, this afternoon, but we dedicate ourselves. Again. I mean, we've born again. You don't need to get born again. But today, as we have times and seasons, you know, the times begin with seconds, don't they? And, you know, and if you get tinier, they begin with even less than seconds. They have nanoseconds, right? You know, the science creates all these, you know, things, and they've only discovered what God does. Amen? The science that was the whole point of science, even in the Renaissance, was to discover what God did. Newton and you know, Leonardo da Vinci, they were discovering what God did. They look under a rock and, oh, wow, look at there. Or they get a dead body, you know, and they cut up the dead body. Well, sorry, but they cut up the dead body and they find out what's in there. You know, and it's pretty amazing to me that, well, you know, of course, they still do that, Doc. You know, they cut up things. My daughter-in-law is teaching a class, an engineering class. Well, that's a science class, right? For some reason, they dissected a sheep brain, you know, the other day. I don't know why they did that, but they dissected a sheep brain the other day. And the smell was wonderful. That's what she said. At any rate, but all of these things that are done, all these things that are done in the sciences, God does that. God shows us His great creation, doesn't He? He shows that you discover what God did, the amazingness of my finger that got cut, and it covers over, and the blood goes away. Monty, do you get excited about that still? You know, because it's not you, it's God. It's because your body heals itself because of God. He created you that it does these amazing, amazing things. You know, I think about, you know, how your heart pumps, you know, how your legs move. You know, a lot of us are thinking how it doesn't work anymore, you know. And that's just to encourage you that this is not your home. This is not your permanent home, this body. Amen? Because it's got sin in it, and it's really kind of falling apart. But that's what sin does. It makes things fall apart. That's why you want to go find Jesus. You want to know how to get into God. You want to know how to get into His presence. And so we dedicate ourselves to what we already have received. We have received the kingdom of heaven right now in the world, in the earth. We have the Holy Spirit is in us as a down payment, just a taste. It's just a taste of things to come. Amen. If you'll get into the Scriptures and you keep reading it, you'll find out it is a taste of things to come. The enemy wants you to focus on all the things that are happening on the outside, all the falling aparts. But Jesus and the Father want you to concentrate on what He's doing. Like you said, rejoice. You know, if you'll just rejoice and you make a practice and a habit of it, you know, it doesn't have to come from your experience. Rejoicing comes from your finished work. Is on the inside, that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. That's where rejoicing comes from. You thank Him and you praise Him and you rejoice in Him. And that transforms me. When I rejoice, it transforms me from grumpy to happy. Amen? From the thing that I'm looking at to the thing that He did and the thing that He's already done. And He's working that in me. So I'm dedicating myself to Him every day. He gives me a second. Maybe I didn't make it on the second mark. Maybe I'll make it at the minute part. I have another opportunity. Or maybe I'll make it in 15 minutes. Or maybe I'll make it at the hour. You know, if I missed it on the minute, maybe I'll make it on the hour. Or if I missed it on the hour, maybe I'll make it before I go to bed at midnight. Or maybe I'll at least make it, you know, once you get a new day every morning, the sun rises. You know, He gave those signs in the sky for what? For times and for seasons. So you remember things daily. Daily. You know, you rise, you go to sleep and you rise up. You go to sleep and you rise up. You wake up and it's a brand new day. You know, it's a brand new day every single day. A new day to rejoice. A new day to sing, a new day to thank Him. Amen. Or maybe next week. Oh, man, it was an awful week. It really wasn't, because you had Jesus in you. It was not an awful week. God just had a lot of opportunities to save your life this week. Amen. I mean, you know, you were trying to be, the enemy was trying to cut you down and beat you up and kick you out, but the Holy Spirit just brought you along every single day. And you said, you get to start next week. And then if you don't start next week, maybe you start next month. And if you don't start next month, well, glory to God, next year. Happy New Year. You know, if you didn't get it done this past year, it's okay. You got another one. Starts today. Amen? Starts today. In the Scripture, they dedicated things. They dedicated the temple. And they dedicated, before that, they dedicated the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you know who showed up? God. You know, as we dedicate ourselves, God is showing up. God is showing up. God showed up. You know, well, it looks like a small crowd. No, God still showed up. Remember when God shows up, what does He say? He says, if two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he? Right there. I'm there with you. If two or three are gathered together in my name. That's why he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as Jeff said this morning. Don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Exodus chapter 40. In Exodus chapter 40, they're setting up the tabernacle, see? And I'll just start reading it. And he hung up the screen at the door of the tabernacle. This is verse 28. I could have started earlier, but I won't. And he put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle and the tent meeting. And he offered upon it burnt offering and grain offering. And the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar, and put the water there for washing. And Moses, Aaron, and his sons washed their hands and their feet with water from the laver. When they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar and washed, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. They were just putting this thing together. You know, it's like one of those churches that goes and meets in a school or something, and they got to put up everything. You know, because when they would carry the tabernacle around, they'd carry it around on animals and backpacks, and they'd stop and put it together. And so Moses finished the work, verse 34. Then what happened? Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They got the tabernacle set up. They got the tent set up. And the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord came and covered that tabernacle. Tabernacle just means tent. Tent, you know? And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now when the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Wow, how about that? So here comes the cloud. Maybe this is our new year. The glory of the Lord comes down. And then what'd they do? The glory of the cloud went up, and they went on about their journeys. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go on about our journeys. You know, Pastor Jim went to heaven about a little while ago. He went to heaven, but we're going to continue on our journeys. Amen? Until the Lord takes us to heaven. We're going to continue on our journeys. Are you going to continue on your journey? Say amen. Amen. So when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, this is verse 36 in Exodus 40, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was. So if it shows up again in the cloud, we take a pause. The cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day and was... And fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Now Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 8, assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes of the fathers of the children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is in Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. Then all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the Ark, and brought up the Ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled to him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted, that's a lot, or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles, the poles they used to carry it. And the poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the sanctuary, but they could not be seen from the outside. So they are to this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant and the children of Israel with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Father, we thank you. That you fill our houses. That you fill our bodies. Fill our spirits. Fill our minds. Thank you that the Shekinah glory of God lives in me. Lives in us. Lives in our children. Our families. And Father, we thank you for this cloud, the glory of God. We're not looking for an experience or some kind of a sign. We thank you that the cloud of the glory of God lives on the inside of us. For in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Back in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. And then the king turned around and blessed the whole congregation. Then Solomon made prayer and supplication to the Lord. I'll let you read that part out of 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 54, and so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our ears, our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Thank the Lord. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And talk about our temple. Because we talked about dedicating temples, talk about dedicating buildings, and then dedicating the tabernacle in the wilderness, and the cloud of the Lord coming in. And then dedicating the temple of God, as King Solomon did, and that the cloud again came and indwelt the building. Amen? So God comes and He indwells us by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I want to look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Know ye not, verse 16, know ye not that you are the temple, and the Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, His Spirit dwells in you. You are God's temple, and His Spirit dwells in you. He talks about how we're careful about how we build on the but he's talking, you know who he's talking to there in that chapter. He's talking about how people revere teachers, you know, and they have their favorite teacher, right? And he's saying, don't look to the teacher when you're being taught. Know that your teacher is the Holy Ghost. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Jeff, I'm of Porcher, you know, or I'm of, you know, Raul over in Dallas. Yeah, I like these guys, this guy or that guy. Yeah, no, know that the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches you and gave you that gift. He even gives a gift to a teacher to teach, doesn't he? So he's doing that. And he's talking about, in that particular chapter, how that as a wise master builder, Paul is talking about, I have laid the foundation that no other man can lay, which is Jesus Christ. No, there is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. And then he says, and another buildeth thereon. And another buildeth thereon. And so what he's talking about here is teachers. And as he's talking about those teachers, let a teacher be careful about what he's teaching. Let a teacher be watchful about what he's teaching. For when he builds on to the foundation of a believer, a young Christian, somebody who is just getting started in the faith, that you want him to be trained up properly, trained up in the truth, and not trained up in some, you know, some kind of odd doctrine somewhere, something you thought was interesting. Amen? So as teachers, now, that's why the scripture says that a teacher will be held accountable. A teacher will be held more accountable, right? And he says, let him be careful how he builds thereon, gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. So the more I look at this, it's not directly talking about the individual believer as much as it is talking about the teacher. That teacher is responsible to teach what God is saying. Amen? So it's not as much saying that you are putting gold, silver, and precious stones in your basket. Or be careful, don't put wood, hay, and stubble. Now, you know, you can by not hearing, by lending yourself to such teaching, but the scripture in this portion is really talking about the teachers and the responsibility that they have to teach you the truth and the Word of God. Amen. where he says here, you are, let me look at it, find the scripture I want. Verse 11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will be manifest, for the day will declare it. What day? That's the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. For the day will, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work. If anyone's work which he has built thereon endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If any one of you seem to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, so he's talking about teachers, or Cephas, or who is Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So be careful how... So what teaching you put yourself under? A lot of kinds of interesting things. You know, the scripture talks about, people wondering about suffering over, in Timothy, talking about genealogies and various different teachings that people follow. You know, we have all kinds of things that people follow. Here's what we follow. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? Yea, risen again. Here's what we follow. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We get into so many different, pathways of interest that are interesting to us. What you want to do is to follow the Word of God and to declare His name, to follow Jesus Christ and to declare His name, preaching Christ crucified. All right. I want to read out of our last scripture today. Will be out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 12. And this has to do with our dedication of ourselves. Amen? This has to do with dedicating ourselves to the Lord. Because if you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and as we read in our dedication, is that we are separated from this world, right? We are separated from this world. You have to know that, you know, you don't go from this place, back to work and back to your daily grind. No. This place is to tell you that you live in heaven. When you come here, we are reminding you. That's why people used to have services like almost every night in the week, right? You know, before television, you know, before 24-hour news and movies. You know, people used to go to church. Now, it was something to do, because otherwise you were at home, you know, feeding the cows or, you know, doing some work. You know, came to church, heard about God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday morning, Wednesday night. Janet remembers? Janet, how often did they have church every week? Of course, Janet lived across the street from the church. Three times? Is that it? Yeah. Of course, Janet lived across the street from the church. Oh, well, she was a deacon's daughter of a deacon, you know. And so they lived across the street from the church. I think y'all lived closer to the church than the pastor. No, he was next door. Well, praise the Lord. So that's who we are. We live at the church. And we're like Samuel, the little boy, you know. His mom just moved him to the church. moved him down there to the temple to live with that old geezer, Samuel, you know. So you get this little kid, you know, and he's now working for Samuel. He's probably 5 years old, six, something, seven. Probably seven. Seven's a good age, right? So he's working for Samuel. He's down there at the church. I was doing that about seven. When I was about seven, I was working for the church. You know, I was a little kid. I was an acolyte. You know what an acolyte is? This little guy in a little white robe, and he's got a stick with flame on the end of it. They let me have a flame. I thought that was pretty impressive. I had a little fire stick, you know, and I had a fire stick before Amazon. And I had a little bell, little cover on it that would put out candles. So I could light your candle or I could put your candle out. I had a lot of power. So, but when I was about seven, you know, I started working for a guy who was 6 foot six. And I was a small seven. And I remember we had, back in those days, we had a Advent wreath. We had an Advent wreath, you know what that is, right? Advent wreath, got four candles. When you do it in December, like we don't do, you do it in December, you light one candle, you know, one candle 1 week, then the two candles, and you keep lighting them till Jesus is born. And so this thing was hanging up, probably as tall as that cross, you know, over there, behind there. And this guy was 6 foot six. So I'm trying to light the wreath, and the wreath is on one chain, and then it's like a chain that spreads out, you know. So I'm trying to light it, and it starts spinning. And I'm trying to catch this candle with this thing. So the pastor just is standing right next to it, up the chair, up in the front. He just reaches up like an angel. He just reaches up, grabs it, stops it from spinning. So I was able to nail that candle. But you see, but that's when I started working for God. You know, is that when I was seven? Now, I believe that. I believe that in my heart. And I said that was when God, you know, said this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And so I was blessed. And 7 years later, the Lord told me, when I was 14, God told me, "Well, you're going to pastor." Just told me that. And I was 21, 7 years later. It was right 1 year after I got married. You know, God was setting us in place. I'm older than that now. Praise the Lord. But we're dedicating ourselves. Amen. I don't know what your dedication is. I don't know what God's got you doing. But you dedicate yourself to whatever God tells you to do. Amen. Whatever God has you doing. God has you doing something. Now, it doesn't matter what your job is. Your job is just to feed your gospel machine. Isn't it? Huh? Because you're no longer of this world. You now belong to God. You work for Him. So whatever you do, you're doing it for His glory. We're dedicating ourselves today. I mean, the building is one thing, but how about you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. It's a word there is expedient, but for your purposes, all things are, you can do anything. All things are lawful. In other words, we're talking about like all these law restrictions, you know, things where you couldn't eat bacon before, you know, or you didn't wash your hands right. You know, remember the disciples walking through and the Pharisees are hollering because they didn't wash their hands properly. So he's saying those particular things that we used to hold you to. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. It's pretty stout. But I think what I see here is we have an opportunity to live in this world But because we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't have to. We don't have to live of the world. Amen? Over in Romans chapter 7, you remember where Paul said, the things I don't want to do are the things that I'm doing, and the things that I do want to do, I can't do. Who's going to help me? I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ. So in Romans 8, we find that we live by faith. And the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of us and causes us to be able to walk in the power of God. Over in Romans 6, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. I seem to be having trouble with that. No. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You know, that's just about like rejoice all evermore. It's just like rejoice always. Because sin shall not have dominion over you. He says in Romans 6:11, it says, reckon yourselves therefore dead unto sin and alive unto God. Well, it's not because you didn't see any sin. He said, when you do see it, reckon yourselves dead unto sin and alive unto God. He said, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. That's interesting to say that line. The body is not for wickedness, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So the Lord takes care of your body. See, fornication is you taking care of your body, but he says the Lord takes care of your body. Amen? Now, that fornication could be a sexual fornication, or it could be some kind, just you doing whatever it is you're giving yourself away for, of, through, in. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. God has raised up the Lord Jesus and will also raise us up by His own power. So God's raised up the Lord Jesus and He's going to raise you up. So those things that attempted to get a hold of you and your body as you were dedicating yourself to the Lord, I'm just saying, just kind of a reality, you know, is that we sin. We get sucked into stuff. We get sucked into just, you know, doing things that are not helpful. Because all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. So God has raised up the Lord, and He will raise us up also by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take then the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? He or she? Who's one body with them? Just like a marriage, right? Just like a man and a woman. You're joined to a harlot. Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one flesh, is one body? For he saith, they shall become one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord, listen, is one spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. Having these comparisons done is that he said he raised us up by his own power. And we're members of Christ. And the Lord is for the body. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. This is who we are. We're dedicated to him, aren't we? Verse 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, is outside the body. But he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Because you remember Jesus, when he talked about it, he said he that's committed fornication or adultery just in his mind has already done it. So if you let you're letting your thought life go, letting your thought, keep your thought life in the presence of the Lord. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. Flee fornication. I love that one. Flee it. Run. You know. Like Mario, you know, like the Mario Brothers. It's just those guys, how fast they run. Sonic the Hedgehog. Flee. Run. Verse 19. What? I love that. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now read this part. Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Know ye not that your body, do you not know that your body is, right now, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God in your body, in your spirit and your body, which are God's. Amen. So this is our dedication, is to we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, living in our bodies. He searches, remember, he's the candle of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, he's the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Well, how can he search the belly if he isn't in there? See, the Holy Spirit abides inside of you. Amen? Scripture talks about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Additionally, that's my word. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And somebody might say, okay, well, I was yoked equally with an unbeliever. No, that's not what he's talking about. He said the fact that you were a believer and they are an unbeliever, that is the inequality. Don't be yoked to an unbeliever. The unequally is a description of the fact that you are at all yoked together in anything with an unbeliever, whether that would be a spouse. In other words, to get married, to make the act of making that yoke together. Now, if somebody is already married and one of them becomes a Christian, 1 Corinthians 7 deals with that. No, you stay with them. But he says, don't start out this way with the intent. Don't get married to, if you're a believer, don't get married to an unbeliever. If you're a believer, don't get in business with an unbeliever. It's hard enough to get in business with a believer. Don't be getting into business with an unbeliever. Because you want to get in business with somebody who's got the same Jesus you have. Amen? You don't want to be in business with somebody who has who worships Baal. Well, they didn't worship anybody. They were atheists. No, that's a Baal worshiper. An atheist is a Baal worshiper. Okay? It's just a different brand. An atheist is just a different brand of religion. Amen. He's just a different brand of believer. You're unequally yoked together with that guy. We're talking about dedication of yourself, okay? Remember, we're talking about dedication. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Is that clear yet? And what accord has, and what agreement, if that wasn't clear, we'll keep going. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, here it is again, are the temple of the living God. As he has said, I will dwell in them, you, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that today we come out from among them to be separate. We thank you, O God, that we have dedicated our building and our properties, these lands that on which we worship, we come together to worship, as we have dedicated ourselves, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our families, our husbands and our wives. We do not worship them. We do not make idols of them. What we dedicate their lives and how they relate to us, to you, so that we are free from bondage, yet we are yoked together in the work of the Lord with our spouses, with our brothers and sisters. Today, thank you, God, that you've given us a brand new day, a brand new year, to walk with you, to hear your voice, to reach the world. Father, we pray for our legislators and our statewide and countywide office holders who are taking office this week. And Father, we will pray for them weekly. We will remember to pray for them, not just as a body in the church, but individually from our homes, because we have hired these people to do a godly work, to make godliness a priority in the passing of laws. And we will remember to tell them and speak to them and remind them what their job is and who hired them. That as believers in the Lord Jesus, that we are in this world to love our neighbor as you have loved us. We give you praise. We give you glory. And I bless your people according to your word for this next year, for this year that we've begun today, to see your face, to know you, to grow, and to flee fornication, and to know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we are evangelists, we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus till the day that he returns. And we give you the praise, and we give you the glory. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have a good God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's receive the offering this morning. Father, we thank you that you're a good God, that your name is worthy of praise. And we bless you and we give you thanks for all of your goodness. In the name of Jesus, amen.